I came to Crown Point in 1959, and I'm out walking around town as a young man, a teacher at the high school, and I read about Dillinger and the jail, and which was still being used as a jail, and the sheriff's house was there and so forth, and I got really interested in it. And then I realized right away that people in town didn't want to talk about it. They were very leery of saying anything about the escape because of the embarrassment that it had caused at the time. But it struck me that, and the more I learned about Lillian Holly, I mean, what an admirable character. And here she is, a woman, when women had very few opportunities to have much of a control over anything. She's suddenly the sheriff of a pretty lively county with lots going on in it. And I had daughters, and I thought they need, and I had girls in class. So I was teaching a drama class, and I said, I was assigning them, pick up somebody, a celebrity or a historical figure or a politician, and just do a little scene, create a little scene, be that person for a few minutes. And the girls were having trouble coming up with it. And I said, well, what about Lillian Holly? And there was this silence in class. They didn't know her name. And I thought, this is not right. So I got the idea, maybe I should just write a little play, and we would do that at the high school. So I talked to several people, and I said, well, Lillian's not going to like that. So I wrote her a letter, and I explained everything that I just said. And my friends, George Pyle, a lot of other people that knew her personally, said, she's not going to talk to you. You've got to know that. She called me on the phone about 3 weeks later. I'd forgotten all about it. And she talked at length. She was very kind and explained, you know, about the grand jury and everything, you know, what the guards actually saw. Did they see a real gun? Did they see a wooden gun? And I was thrilled. I was thunderstruck. And she was so kind to me. But the last thing she said was, I don't want you to write the play.
Why did she want you not to write the play?
Their feeling after the escape, the town really came around her like a shield. She did not want to discuss it anymore. She had, for months after, in fact, extending to years. I came in 59, so that's 20 years after the escape, at least. There were authors and movie people, and so still calling her and trying to get her to speak, to give them some kind of permission to have the inside story about, and it was all about Dillinger. Well, the town got really sick and tired of their words, glorifying Dillinger, and, you know, the whole nation, the world, looked at Crown Point and our woman sheriff. We were an embarrassment. They criticized her as if she had somehow failed. She had done something wrong that caused this to happen. So nobody wanted to talk about it, including her.
Now, what does it turn out in what you had in not only your conversations with Lillian, but what you may have done in research as well, too, as to why these things happen. Why did it seem that everybody in Crown Point at the time was embarrassed about this? Was there any fault that could be laid upon the sheriff's department at the time?
I personally don't think so. I've done a lot of research. I've read a number of books. A man who really was closely allied knew Louis Paquette, who was Dillinger's lawyer. And he took extensive notes when Dillinger would meet with Louis, all the whole inside story of that. Assuming that this document, this manuscript that just turned up not too long ago, it seems very real to me. And there was really a conspiracy of the Dillinger gang made connections with pretty crooked police officers and politicians in East Chicago, and they set the whole thing up. They really had it all very carefully planned. Now, Louis Paquette absolutely forbade any of them to smuggle a real gun into the the place. But he found out about a case in Wisconsin where a convict there had whittled a gun and just, you know, convinced everybody that it was a gun by, you know, he'd stick it in somebody's back. You don't know, if you don't know it's a gun, you don't want to take the chance of getting the guy angry. So the guy was able to walk right out of prison. So he said that will work, you know. And so they had a gun made and took it in there. There's real evidence that a jail guard named Blunk who was the first one taken. Dillinger got him first. Now, Blunk, of course, insists that he assumed there was a gun, and he surrendered his keys and his weapon to Dillinger because he didn't want to get shot. But there's some real suspicious idea. He definitely knew the people that we suspect in Ishikawa. Well, for instance, Zarkovich. I don't know if you know, but Zarkovich is the police detective in Chicago who contacted the FBI later after the escape, and he was starting to get nervous about his connection being connected, and he got them connected with the lady in red, the mm-hmm. woman who, you know, so they could figure out where Dillinger was going to be at a particular place and time, and of course in front of the Biograph Theater. So Zarkovich and Blunt knew each other well, worked together in a lot of things, and that's the theory that I'm going with. There are a lot of theories out there. Mine is not and it isn't mine. It's from this particular book.
We're talking with Marion Kellum, a resident of Crown Point, who has talked to the sheriff named Lillian, which is hence the name of the play that this being put on at the old historic courthouse in downtown Crown Point. And we in turn found out here at least a little background as to the jailbreak at the Lake County Jail when it was downtown in Crown Point at the time. We know now it's the impetus in getting together the ideas and the information to create the play. And fast forward to 2017. Obviously, at the time you say that Lillian didn't want the play to be written, and obviously you probably had to wait until her passing to be able to bring it to light now, didn't you?
And wonderfully, as you know, she is an outstanding person in so many ways. She died at 103.
So, which is why it's taken so long from the 1950s to be able to finally put this on.
That's right. And she had twin daughters, as you may well know. And the daughters, the one daughter was in the Coast Guard during the Second World War and she retired from that as a lieutenant commander, I think she was. She rose in rank. A woman in the Coast Guard, very unusual. So it was a family of outstanding women. When she came back to Crown Point, she continued to live with her mother all that time, and was very much. They were very close, and they worked together well. As did the twin sister, married and lived in Pennsylvania, but was in and out. The daughter, Janet, died. 17 days, I think it was. Within a week and a half after Lillian died. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting.
Which is not unusual for family members who are so close like that. You hear about that all the time husbands and wives that have been married for 50, 60, 70 years longer.
They're each other's support.
That's right. You know, they've lived together. They've been together so long. They can't hardly think of themselves as not being a couple, I suppose.
I think that's right. Yeah.
When the opportunity finally presented itself now to be able to put the play on, let's talk about some of the obstacles that you run into, and when you put on a small production in a small place like the courtroom at the historic courthouse in Crown Point.
Oh, that's right. It's not a theater, and it doesn't have grid work in the ceiling to hang lights, and it doesn't have we have to create a sound system. We have to set a stage in the middle of a ballroom that's used almost every weekend for wedding receptions. And it's a beautiful room. It's hardwood floors and beautiful brass chandeliers, which, by the way, were contributed by Lillian Holley. She was on the ground floor of helping to restore the courthouse when we got it from the Lake County politicians. And they had let it run down. I mean, they knew they were moving out. They didn't want to put taxpayer money into preserving something that they weren't going to use anymore. And so when we started restoring it, we knew we had to make it some way useful mm-hmm. so that we could keep bringing in money to keep it under in repairs. And so she saw this room that we were going to make in a ballroom, and she bought those brass chandeliers. And also, you know, the 4 clocks on the clock tower. Mm-hmm. You can see them from I-65. You can see, you know, they're the center of that town. They're the heart of the town. Well, for years they hadn't worked. It takes money to repair them, and the politicians didn't do that. She found a company that works on such huge clocks and huge machinery and gears. I've been up there. It's an amazing mechanism. She got that company there, and not only that, but she'd go up and supervise them too.
Well, tell us about the play, Lillian, since we have an idea of what the play is about here, talking about then Lake County Sheriff Lillian Holley and your conversations and the writing of the play and the like. Tell us about how I won't say difficult, but certainly challenging, to say the least, in being able to cast such a play like this.
It is difficult to cast it. This is a typical example. Lillian had twin daughters, and the focus of the play is not on Dillinger. Of course, the escape figured in Lillian's life very much, but I'm showing the family life, their concern about their daughters, the relationship between she and Roy, her husband, and his nephew, Carol. And so I knew that during the years of the escape, I start the play when he is unexpectedly elected sheriff. He was a dentist, a very successful, popular dentist in Gary and Hammond. And the Democratic Party said, we need to fill a slot. They're not going to win, but would you please run for sheriff? So he did. And surprise, surprise, he won and served his first term very, very well. Well, the daughters, by the time of the escape, were 18. So I naturally wanted, if I'm starting in about 28 or so when he was getting elected, that's when I start the play, they would have been, with a few years younger than that. Not younger than 12, certainly. So I'm looking for girls like that age. Well, the high school right now is doing a wonderful, wonderful production, by the way, of Kiss Me, Kate. Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful actresses out there in Crown Point. They're, any actress who wants, they want to be in that musical, of course. I could not find two teenage girls to do. But I found two delightful. Oh, they're the sweetest, cutest little buttons. But they're only like 10. Mm-hmm. And they're great little actresses. I've never worked with children that young before. But
they're just not 12 years old. And obviously, so just have to work around that, don't you?
I had to work around that. And if members of the family come, just recently, one of Lillian's granddaughters, I think the only one, in fact, called me from California and said, what about this play? I hope you're going to be, do honor to her and so forth. And I said, don't worry, get everybody's name spelled right. Well, she wouldn't be happy to find out that I portrayed her mother in the play, Lillian's daughter, as 10 years old when, in fact, she was 19. But we have to do what we have to do to get a production on the ground.
So we are all set for the play now. Tell us a little bit about when it's going to be on here and some of the particulars, too, what people need to know to be able to get their tickets to be able to attend this event at the in the ballroom at the courthouse.
Well, thank you very much for asking that question. That's why I'm here. You can go online and get tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. It's www.brownpapertickets.com. That's just fine. Or you can call the Historic Lake County Courthouse Foundation, and that number is 663-0660. The tickets are $25 for adults, and we've got a special $15 ticket for students. We haven't done that in the past, but we feel that this play, we're hoping that younger people will get to see it and get information about it.
Are you hoping that when Lillian comes before everybody there in the ballroom of the historic old courthouse in Crown Point, maybe it won't necessarily create a resurgence of interest in Lillian Holley, but at least we'll bring some interest back in this historical time, despite the fact that it was an embarrassment to the people of Crown Point?
That's exactly what I want to do. I think we should honor are figures in history, and Lillian Holly she's a wonderful person. She is a great people that I would like for our young people to know about, and we should respect that history, and we should be truthful, but know that she stood up very bravely in a very difficult situation. And her words, I quote her again and again in the play, stand by themselves.